There are transition times. And if we can learn how to get through seasons, transition through seasons, we can get victory in the next season. Sometimes we just have victory in our last season. Sometimes we're just looking forward to Jesus coming back and us getting victory in our future season. But God would love us to have victory right here, right now, and in that next season that we're transitioning to, and the next one. Our Christian life is designed to advance and grow. We're not just people that get saved and then sit at the rapture bus stop waiting for Jesus to come back. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to mature. We're supposed to develop. We're supposed to discover what God wants in our life and what God wants in our community. What does God want in our church? What does God want in our world? And then get engaged in that. We're supposed to grow and develop and mature and advance. We're designed to have many different experiences in God, not the same experience many times. If we're not careful, we can be a Christian that has the same experience many times versus the Christian who has many different experiences in God. Are you ready for a new experience in God? I'm ready for a new experience in God. I'm ready for that. I want that, and I'm designed for that. So when we talk about seasoned, we're talking about a couple of different things. Somebody that's experienced, wise, tried, and tested. They're seasoned. They're a veteran. They've been through it, got the t-shirt, right? They've done that, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. They're seasoned. So that's one thing that we're talking about. The next thing we're talking about is these are people that learn how to win in various seasons of their life. They're seasoned because they know how to win in the seasons of life. We want to be that person. We want to learn that. Three things we talked about last time about David. David learned how to have victory when he was overlooked and underappreciated. That's a season of life. A season when people don't think you're important, people don't think you matter, you're overlooked, you're underappreciated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You want to testify? No, we're not going to testify today about that. But we've all experienced some of that. You have to learn to win in that season. Then David learned how to win that next season of his life was when he was transitioning from the shepherd boy to the king. There was a transition going on there, and he had to learn how to win in that season of his life. And that's a whole nother set of skills. It's a whole nother set of actions. It's a whole nother belief system to do that. And the third thing we talked about is you have to learn how to win the big one when everybody's watching. So David had to learn how to kill the giant, win the big one when everybody's watching. Sometimes, this is a difficult subject. Pride and humility is a little bit difficult subject, isn't it? Some of us at times are so arrogant that we stink. We're so proud. And it's hard to recognize pride in yourself. Usually somebody else has to point it out to you. You know what I'm, anybody know what I'm talking about? It's really quiet. I got one brother. And then there's this other thing. It's called humility. Humility's powerful, but the opposite end of humility is this false humility that doesn't even try because you don't think you can, and you're not willing to step into the light and do the big thing when you're called upon to do it. You think you can't. You think you can work on your own self with false humility to such a degree that when it's your time to shine and when it's your time to do the big thing that you're supposed to do, you back out and you back up instead of step up. And so sometimes we do the wrong thing there. We're afraid to step up when it's our turn, when it's our time. You have to learn how to do that in life. Otherwise, you just end up with a life of regrets, right? Maybe some of you right now are at the threshold where you're supposed to step up, but you're a little afraid. Well, we want you to transition well and learn how to win in that season. We talked about anointing. When David was anointed to be the king by Samuel, it changed him and it empowered him. And you and I also have anointings in our life. We have God putting his hand upon us and putting a calling upon us and putting gifts upon us to do things. It's an anointing. It's something we're now passionate about. Now we're good at. Now we see it. Now we want to do it. Here's a definition of anointing: the power, wisdom, and ability to do what is asked. When God asks you to do something, He'll anoint you to do it. He'll give you the wisdom and the power and the ability to do it. Arby talked about overcoming the butterflies. It's the anointing that overcomes that, right? It's that call of God. It's the, now I have the wisdom and the ability and the courage to step up and do that. We need God's anointing. We talked about chasing the anointing. Where do you have that passion and that wisdom and that ability? Chase that. A couple things of last week's, then we'll jump into this week's. David said, is there not a cause? And you have to really connect your wagon to a cause. You have to connect your life to a cause. If there's not a cause, any old thing will do. Any decision will do. Any priority will do. Anything will do if there's not a cause. But if there's a cause, only the right thing will do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you're a parent, you get this. Before you were a parent, you didn't have the parenting cause. But now that you're a parent, you've got this parenting cause. And you will do things for your kids you would never do if they weren't around. You'll discipline yourself and force yourself to get up and feed them and change them and love them when you don't feel like loving them. And it's the cause. It causes you to go do what you're supposed to do. When there's a cause, only the right thing will do. Sometimes the key to victory is connecting our heart to the right cause. And then we'll go do the right thing. But if there's not a cause, any old thing will do. If you're just riding the rapture bus stop and waiting for heaven, any old thing will do. But if you're living a life full of cause, you need some victory. You need some anointing. You need some passion. You need some strength. So we talked about that in 1 Samuel 18:14. The Amplified Bible says, David acted wisely in all of his ways and succeeded, and the Lord was with him. I think sometimes we just have to learn how to act wisely in our ways. David could have blew it up. David could have messed it up. He was called, he was anointed, and he could have messed it up, but instead he acted wisely. Now, when he got a little older, he made a couple mistakes, but in those years, he was acting wisely in all of his way, and it caused him to succeed. Another word for success might be victory. Victory. I don't know if you guys pray the prayer, but I pray the prayer a lot. God, give me wisdom. Help me know what to do. Because if I'm wise and if I do the right thing, because there's a cause, then I'll succeed and I'll have victory in my life. And God wants that for you and He wants that for me. So let's start this week's lesson. David learned how to get victories in many seasons of his life. And I really feel like an important part of this series right here is learning how to win in different situations. Some of us have learned how to win in a specific situation, but when we're facing a different situation, we can't quite figure out how to win. We can't quite figure out how to do God's will. We can't quite figure out how to overcome the obstacles and the opposition in those areas. And God wants to help us win in more areas of life than we're currently winning in today and in those different seasons of life. David learned how to transition well most of the time. David had a lot of transitions. He went from that overlooked shepherd boy when the prophet said, call your sons because I'm going to anoint one of them king. They didn't even call David. He wasn't even considered a son who would come to the table just in case God wanted to use him. And you may have felt like that person before, but David had to learn to transition that. He could have got bitter, hurt, angry, accusing, whining, and never transitioned out of that stage. He could have stayed a shepherd boy his whole life because he didn't learn how to transition there. But instead, he learned. I'll say, God, help me. I don't want to be stuck somewhere when I'm supposed to be advancing somewhere else. I don't want to be that. And I know you guys don't either. You don't want to be stuck at a lower level, or at a one place, when God wants you to be at another place. You don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. David learned how to transition. Our entire life is full of transitions, and we got to learn how to transition well from one to another to another to another. You got to learn how to transition from elementary to junior high, or from crawling to walking. I'm going to go back farther than that. You got to learn how to transition from being fed to feeding yourself. I mean, you have your life is full of transitions. You got to learn how to transition from quit going in your diaper and start going in the toilet. That's a transition. It's not an easy one all the time, but it's a transition. You got to transition into junior high, and then high school, and then possibly college, or into the work environment, or into the military. There's a transition for you. Are there any military guys and gals in the house? Is that a transition or what? Of course, they help you out with that transition pretty much, don't they? I mean, they force you into it. There's no bell to ring in basic training. That's only in Navy SEAL training, right? You will go through this, and you will do what we tell you to do when we tell you how we tell you. That's a harder transition probably for a lot of us to make, would be that transition. And you got to transition into the workforce, and you got to transition into different levels of the workforce, or owning your own business. And how do you just go from starting a business to being successful in a business to making other people successful with your business? How do you do that? You got to transition that. How many businesses fail every year that start up? Probably like 9 out of 10, because they don't know how to transition. They don't know how. So the recession happens. How do you transition that? You got to have all these, you got to be able to transition stuff all the time. You have to be able to do that. You got to know that God is with you to help you learn to transition. Are you listening? He wants you to have some victory. There may be some of you turning me off already going, yeah, that's for other people, not me. I can never transition. I can never find any further success than I currently have. I'm stuck here. Don't turn this off yet. Go ahead, wait another 10 minutes or 20 minutes before you turn me off. Don't turn me off yet. God has some amazing plans to get you some victory in your life that you don't currently have. You cannot depend on your emotions. Anybody know about that? Will your emotions betray you? Won't they? Sometimes your emotions will betray you. Sometimes we're an emotional mess. If I made all of my decisions based on my emotions, I would have a hard time with victory. I would have a hard time succeeding. Because some days my emotions are right there with me, pulling me forward. And other days they're dragging me backwards. You can't depend on the actions and the emotions of other people. You can't live like a victim. You can't have a critical view of situations and people. I talk about this a lot. I talk about this attitude of faith, of trust in the Lord. If you're going to have victory in your life, you can't get stuck thinking negative about people and negative about situations. You want to talk about the easiest place to get stuck. It's that mud hole of criticism. It's that mud hole of feeling like a victim. It's that mud hole of getting stuck in a situation. And then you get negative about people. You get negative about certain situations. And it's hard to have victory when you do that. We're supposed to be people that have faith and hope and love. In order to have victory, we have to live a life of faith. We have to live a life of hope. We have to live a life of love and strength and courage and generosity. Sometimes your next victory lies in your current level of generosity. And if you'll be generous today, then God will give you that victory in your tomorrows. Sometimes it's laying right there in your faith or courage or peace or generosity. Let's look at a few more of David's experiences with seasons. How did being a target season David? You know, David was a target. His father-in-law, his king, the anointed leader of his life, threw spears at him. Now, some of y'all's had it bad, but you haven't had it that bad. How did David allow becoming a target to season him? Many people don't handle this well. It was, 1 Samuel 18:11, when Saul threw a spear at David. David was falsely accused. David was chased out of town. He was hunted down. Can you have victory in that season? How are you going to handle that season? Can you invest in tomorrow's victory today? That right there is a tweetable phrase. Can you invest in tomorrow's victory today? Sometimes we don't get victory today because we didn't make the right investment yesterday. If you ever like watch the stock market, you're going, oh man, why didn't I buy Walmart stock in the 70s? Man, when did I buy Microsoft stock in the 80s, you know? Why didn't I? If you don't make the investment, I have a friend who in the 80s, Microsoft was just rocketing, and his father-in-law had bought a bunch of Microsoft earlier stock, Microsoft stock, and the dude was rolling in it. And so my friend went and borrowed money to buy Microsoft stock just before it dropped. Bad idea. It's hard to make the right investment late, isn't it? Say, if I had some insider trading information, I could be like Martha Stewart and go to prison. No. If I had some insider trading information, I could make the right investment at the right time and get the victory or the right result. Here, the cool thing is God will give you some legal insider information about the future today. Are you willing to make that investment today for tomorrow's victories? It's hard. That's called faith, isn't it? It's hard. It is hard. I know. It is hard. Can you be loyal today? Can you be a friend today? This is what David did. David was loyal to King Saul when King Saul was throwing spears at him. Can you be loyal when you're a target? Well, I don't have to be. You do if you want tomorrow's victory. You do have to be. Well, I have a right to. Well, you can stand on your American right, or you can do what the Bible says and be loyal even when somebody's throwing spears at you. It's called investing in tomorrow's victory. David was a friend even when Saul was not his friend, even when Saul was trying to kill him. David was kind even when Saul was unkind and murderous. David was patient. There's the hard one, right? I mean, we've all heard, do not pray for patience, because the Bible says tribulation works patience. We're studying that in the Christ Image series like right now, aren't we? Tribulation works patience. It works you into the image of Christ. It's the hard times that'll build your character. It's actually the hard times that will test your character. And God lets you take the test over, in case you didn't know. In fact, He requires that you take the test over and over and over and over until you get it right. He will push your character to the edge time after time after time until you grow and mature. If you just love yourself, just give in and do the right thing, because God's going to keep pressuring you until you do. You're not advancing. You're not going forward until you get that thing right. David would never have been king. He would never have been the man after God's own heart. He would never have been the one that Jesus Christ would come into our world through His lineage if he didn't learn how to be seasoned by being a target. When I was 21 years old, I was down at kneeling beside my bed praying, And God said, Kelly, I'm going to remove my protection from you. And you're going to experience difficulties now that you've never experienced. And I got up from that prayer time. I didn't praise him and hallelujah and didn't have a big dance in my bedroom that day. Did not do that. But it wasn't a big deal either. I don't know if you guys do, but I pray and talk to God a lot, and he talks to me a lot, and he was just giving me some information. This is insider trading information that'll help me be successful if I listen. So I listened. I don't think I listened too well, though. I did listen, and I got up and I told Kari, guess what God just told me? And she looked at me like, yeah, okay. She's 19, I'm 21, and God says, you're going through hard stuff pretty quick, you know? And I said, that's okay, and I just kind of forgot about it. And then in our church, a ton of opposition occurred, and I was really oblivious. I was really oblivious. There were sarcastic remarks and snide remarks and innuendos, and I'm kind of oblivious to most of those things. I didn't even know they were trying to hurt me. I didn't even know they were trying to make a point, you know. But there were lots of points of, oh yeah, you don't. And the thing that was going on was my pastor was resigning, and we were looking for a new pastor. And there was a bunch of ministers in the church. One couple was being looked at very seriously to be the next pastors. And the pastor's wife lied about me, saying I was against this couple and I didn't think they were qualified and I was not in favor of them at all. Which was not true. I'd never, ever made any of those statements, and it wasn't even true in my heart. It wasn't true in my heart. But because my pastor's wife made the statement, some other people picked up on that, and then they started persecuting me and attacking me. And a year later, it got pretty serious, and Sister McCarty, my pastor's wife, said, well, that wasn't true. I don't even know why I said that. But during that time, I'm still loving everybody. I'm still friends. I'm still loyal. I'm still kind. I'm still passionate about them. That couple ended up not taking the church, and we had an election for another couple in the church. This couple, I did not think was qualified. But I did not say that. In fact, of the entire congregation, there were only two no votes, mine and Kari's. I voted no, but my heart was loyal. And the congregation said yes, and I would love them, and I would support them, and I would be their best partner in ministry. A series of events happened, and all the people that voted yes abandoned them. Broke their heart. And it was Kari and I that voted no that were their closest friends and probably rescued their heart from destruction. What do you do when you're the target? Are you loyal? I only tell you that to tell you that those things are normal and they are tests. And if you pass the tests, you can have victory tomorrow. If you don't pass the test, you will not have victories in your future. Some of us need to do a lot better job with loyalty, kindness, friendship. In the future, you will be tested. You'll be tested on Facebook. You'll be tested in conversations around the dinner table. You'll be tested at family outings. You'll be tested in the grocery store, a by-the-way conversation. You'll be tested. You've already been tested. There are scenarios going through each of one of your minds right now, going, ooh, I did good there, but I think I blew that one. And it's okay if you blow them. Just don't stay that way. Just repent, make restitution, and sow some seed for tomorrow's victory. Amen? David was tested and proved during these years. You've been tested and proved also. Have you passed the tests? If you did not pass the test, do you understand why you didn't? I think this is an important piece sometimes. Do you understand why you did not pass the test? If you did pass it, do you understand why you did pass it? Do you know how to repeat the victory next time? Do you know how to avoid the defeat next time and get the victory instead? That's a whole other series of sermons, but it's something you should think about. When you have a chance to throw the spear back, what do you do? Yeah, Saul threw the spear a couple times. David and Jonathan went through a scenario of, is dad for me or against me? You know, is dad really trying to kill David or not? And they realized, yep, he was. And twice, David had an opportunity to kill Saul. Twice, he had an opportunity to throw the spear back. And Saul was defenseless both times. Easily, David could have done it. He could have taken matter into his own hands. But you know what? He would have disqualified himself for that next victory that God wanted him to have, for that anointing that was in his life. He would have disqualified himself. David loved Saul, respected him, respected his position. He trusted God to do what God wanted to do in his own time and in his own way. And David refused to take matters into his own hands, even though he had the chance twice to kill Saul. Victory is not won in the public moments when you achieve. It's won in the solitary moments when you made the best decisions and you did the right things. The victory is achieved in your thought life. The victory is achieved if you're going to live out your value system, or if you're going to abandon your value system during those crisis moments, during those difficult moments. That's when the victory is achieved. David had a strong value upon people and upon leaders. He wrote a song for the dedication of the ark, and when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem, in 1 Chronicles 16:22, and the psalm, that line in the psalm says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." David wrote that psalm, and he wasn't talking about Saul when he was writing that. He was talking about this life principle that God's people are special, and you should not attack them. You should not harm them. And we got to get that life principle in our life. You want some victory in your life? You got to learn how to value and honor, respect, and be kind to people. Touch not my prophets, touch not mine anointed, neither do my prophets any harm. Sometimes we pull that verse out so that you quit talking bad about leaders. But that's not really what the verse was about. The verse was about the congregation of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt into the promised land, and there were armies trying to destroy them and defeat them. And David said, but God says this, do not touch. Do not harm my people. I will defend them. I'm for them. And David had that principle deep in his heart. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 8 through 11. Whew, I got to hurry up. And Abishai said to David, they're in the cave, or they're actually, Saul and his army are asleep down in the bottom of a valley. David and Abishai sneak up on them. They're in a deep sleep, and they're standing right over the king. And Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. You have people like that in your life. Throw the spear back at him. You're supposed to. It's the will of God. Throw the spear. That's what Abishai was telling David. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear. Hey, he got the spear, right? Right to the earth. I will not have to strike him a second time. I can do this right the first time. We'll take him out right now. David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Ooh, is that a life principle of yours? And David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. David said, God's going to take care of this. I'm not throwing the spear back. I'm trusting God to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. I'm not throwing the spear back. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So they actually took Saul's spear and they took his water jug. And then when they got out to a safe place, they said, hey, Saul, we love you. We're not against you. Look, we could have killed you, but we didn't. Why are you against us? Why are you chasing us? And Saul repented in his own heart. Actually, after that second time that happened, Saul didn't try to chase David down anymore. He had other problems, but he didn't have that one, right? Sometimes you got to prove that you're for people. You could have threw the spear back, but you didn't. Because you have this life principle inside of you. There's some victory in that, folks. There's some big victory in that. Let God take care of defending you and disciplining others. David knew this and he did it well. He did it good with Saul. Remember the story about Absalom? Absalom with his son. And Absalom ended up with a coup trying to kill David, his father. Take the kingdom away from him. When Absalom died, David wept bitterly, so much so that it embarrassed the army, right? It sounds like you wish the army died and he lived. Knock it off. But he loved Saul. He loved Absalom. Sometimes the next piece of victory is connected to how you love others and your commitment to them and your passion and compassion for them. David highly honored people, and he gave double honor to the leaders. It tells us to do that in the New Testament. It's easy to allow a situation to be bigger than the person or the position. Sometimes we make the situation bigger than the person, and we justify ourselves in devaluing the person because of the situation instead of loving the person and not throwing back the spear. Do not make the situation bigger than the person. Aren't you glad God didn't do that with you? Aren't you glad that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but could have everlasting life? Aren't you glad that Jesus jumped up on that cross and did not hold your sin against you? Even the guys that were nailing his hands to the wood, he said, Father, this is the kind of heart we need. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then Jesus won the victory, not only for himself, but for us. That's seasoned victory, folks. That's maturity. That's love. That's Christianity. That's the way Jesus is and the way we need to be. There was a guy where David blew it, almost blew it. If you remember the story of Nabal, and I wanted to read this, but I'm really lengthy already. I don't know about preachers and being long-winded. There's so much good stuff to say. So little time. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, you have this story, and it's a beautiful story. You should go home and read it. You have your notes in your folder. Take your notes out of your folder. Put it in your pocket or your purse and go home and read that story. David and his men have protected the sheep and the shepherds of this guy named Nabal. Nabal was a wealthy guy, but he was a jerk with a capital J. David and his men were hungry and needy, and they were looking for a little reciprocation. And they said, hey, when your guys were with us, we protected them, we kept them safe, we didn't take anything, they didn't lose anything. Now that you're harvesting your sheep, could you send us some food? Nabal said, who is David that I should listen to him? There's lots of slaves running away from their masters nowadays. Big discrediting David, right? And he said, get out of here. I'm not going to give you anything. And so David's men went back to David and said, Nabal said no. In fact, he was pretty nasty about you, you know. And he said you were a slave running away from your master. David said, put your swords on, gentlemen. We're going to go get some food. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, this beautiful lady named Abigail heard what her jerk of a husband did. And Abigail said, hurry, grab a bunch of food, grab a bunch of raisin clusters, grab everything we can. We got to head him off at the pass because there's evil in David's heart. And he's going to, and she wasn't necessarily concerned about her husband as much as she was concerned about what David was going to do. Now, she loved her husband, and she was faithful to her husband. But when you hear her words, and what beautiful words they are, that's why you need to go home and read them. When you hear her words, she said, let the blame be on me. I wasn't there when your men came, but here's the food. Do not take matters into your own hands, David. Do not avenge yourself of this man. God will take care of him. You make sure you don't jeopardize your values and your future for this emotional moment. Do not do it. Do not do it. And she actually saved David from making one of the biggest mistakes of his life. We need people that'll do that once in a while. We need people that'll jump in front of us and say, well, Kelly, wait a minute. That's not how it is. Do not throw that spear, dude. Do not. Put your sword away. Here's some food. Go eat some comfort food. Chill out, dude. We need people to do that to us. What was that? Nabal's wife, Abigail. Yep. So Abigail saved him. She was wise. She sprang into action. She allowed her value of people and leaders to win the day. She trusted God to work out the details. She hung on to her character and her values. Your good deeds are not done in vain. They pave the way for future victory. David almost laid down his character and values for a lower cause. I'd just like to, for a moment, let that thought sink into our heart. David almost laid down his character and his values for a lower cause. We really need to live our life with the highest causes in our mind and in our heart. There's plenty of lower causes. There's plenty of that. But do not sacrifice the higher cause for a lower cause. Sometimes that's the key to our victory. We're spending our energy and our emotions in the wrong place. David almost did that with Nabal. Yeah, he had some energy and some emotion going, but he was going to spend it in the wrong place. And he actually looked at Abigail and he said, girl, you've rescued me. I would have shed innocent blood, and God would have required that on my hands. See, David passed the test with Saul, and later he passed the test with Absalom, but he almost failed the test with Nabal. He almost threw the spear back, almost. Nabal ended up dying a week later. God killed him, not David nor Abigail or anybody else. And guess who became the bride of David? Abigail did. You don't know what victory and what amazing thing God wants to do in your future just by that act of character and honesty. Man, she paved the way for a beautiful future. So let me conclude. Learn how to get victory in the various seasons of life. Learn how to do that. When you need to win and you're fighting for the right cause, win. Do that. I'm going to win this thing. When it's the right cause and I need to win, I will win this thing. Make that resolution in your heart. I am going to get this victory. But how do you get the victory? Different things in different seasons. When you need to be patient, be patient. Sometimes when we need to be patient, we're aggressive and we lose. When you need to be loyal, be loyal. Sometimes when we need to be loyal, we're a betrayer and we lose. When you need to be generous, then be generous. Sometimes we get stingy. We hold back instead of are generous, and we end up losing. When you need to forgive, forgive. When you need to be kind, be kind. When you need to be humble, be humble. When you need to be wise, be wise. When you need to be careful, be very, very careful, right? When you need to be careful. But don't get these mixed up. Sometimes we do the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we end up not getting victory. That's where that anointing comes in. That's where the wisdom of God comes in. That's being led by God's Spirit comes in. That's being a follower of Jesus. What would Jesus do in this situation? And do that. And do that. Different situations require different attitudes and different actions. Sometimes God says, wait. You should not act when He says, wait. Other times God says, act. You should not wait when God says, act. If we're not careful, we wait when He says act, and we act when He says wait, and then we blame God and the church and whoever else for our failures and our lack of victory. Be seasoned and learn how to win in all the seasons of your life. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Life Center, its mission and its vision. I'm going to talk about how we got here and where we're going. I'm going to talk about our past victories and the next victories we need to get. And I'm going to roll that into a short little sermon next week. And if you believe that, I have no. Pastor Harvey's going to come close us out.